Nobody does it better than Regent Seven Seas Cruises. Enjoy all-inclusive, unrivaled luxury with unlimited shore excursions, indulgent cuisine, personalized service, and more aboard spacious all-suite ships. Visit rssc.com to experience the unrivaled.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on two purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.
D-Mace, Vingen, and Donick, 102.5. The Game, Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingen here with you. Let's go to our phone line, driven by Wilson County, Hyundai.com, and welcome our friend Teron Davenport, ESPN NFL Nation Titans reporter, who is fueled by Parman Energy. Visit ParmanEnergy.com, your one-stop petroleum solution. Hi, TD, how are you?
Hey, what's going on? How are you guys?
We're doing well, thank you. So we haven't spoken to you since Robert Saleh's news conference, since more of the coaching staff has been filled out. Other than being full of bald guys, what do you like most about the coaching staff the Titans have assembled?
Yeah, I think the biggest thing is the experience as far as when you look at the head coaching experience. So there's a nice catalog that Robert Saleh will be able to call upon, but also just the overall experience of the positions and different things that they've done. And when you look at how Robert Saleh has been, he no doubt is very thorough when it comes to up front. But when you look at the back end of the defense, you've noticed over time, if you research it, you'll see he's always had a really strong secondary combination. And when you look at what he has now, Tony Oden and Marquand Manuel, that's a really good DB, a safety and corner combination. And you also got a nickel corner. So I think it's just overall, they've done a really good job of having a staff that is very experienced.
Teron, the Titans are hiring Gus Bradley to be their defensive coordinator. Tell us more about the relationship between Gus Bradley and Robert Saleh and what role Bradley will play in the defense with Saleh calling plays.
Yeah, well, it's one of those things where it's come full circle, right? You repay those who helped you, right? And I think when you look back, Saleh, he joined Seattle as a defensive assistant, quality control, and he worked his way up to linebackers coach. So he was there when Gus Bradley was the defensive coordinator. And so you have that. And then when Gus Bradley, because that Seahawks defense was so good, he got the head coaching job in Jacksonville, and he brought Saleh with him to coach the linebackers. So I think you look at that, and then once Saleh got the defensive coordinator job last year, they brought in Gus Bradley, and obviously he brought him here now, and it just all was facilitated when Kyle Shanahan hired Raheem Morris to be in charge of that defense.
We're talking with Teron Davenport, ESPN reporter for Tennessee Titans. Hey, TD, let's go back to what we were talking about at the beginning, what Adam asked you as far as the coaching staff and the experience that they have. Do you think it was intentional to do that based upon the roster? Because they got a lot of young guys. Mm-hmm. And they want to make sure these guys are taught, in a way that is sufficient for the head coach.
Yeah, I think it was intentional. And you look at before, just from a coordinator standpoint, when Robert Saleh had the job, he had two inexperienced coordinators. And you notice these guys he got now, Brian Daboll, we already know his history, and we just talked about Gus Bradley. So I think it was intentional on his part. I don't know if Mike Borgonzi or anybody else, the powers that be, had an influence on that. They said that they were going to allow him to hire his staff, but I wonder if they kind of encouraged to bring in, experience, because it does seem like everyone is a tenured coach, with the exception of Luke Stocker, who we know he did an outstanding job last year with Gunnar Helm and Chig and David Martin Robinson.
Now, how do you think they approach free agency? Because there are some holes that they need to fill, but I'm sure some of those holes, they would rather do it through the draft because they're young guys working on a rookie contract. But how do you think they ultimately address free agency with the money that they have?
Yeah, well, I mean, I would imagine it's going to be less of a shopping spree at Green Hills and more like an Opry Mills type of situation, right? Because they have the money to spend, but I don't think that they're going to spend it crazy like that. And just, you know, there will be a couple transactions, I think, that are going to stand out. But I don't think they're going to focus as much on building through free agency as much as supplementing and working through the draft. And we know they got, what, 9 picks right now. So, obviously, you know, that's going to be the way they go. The draft, develop, retain. I mean, it's not unique. Everyone approaches it that way. But I think there's a little more emphasis on drafting this year because, you know, they're establishing the foundation, the core, which, you know, started with the last year's draft class.
Now, interesting, you said that, and it made me think. One guy on this roster, and I believe we all have come to the conclusion that he may end up being a, you know, a cap casualty, a guy that they don't want anymore, and that's L'Jarius Sneed. But based upon the defense that Sala plays, see, Denard's defense was a pressure defense. And it had, you know, he relied on them to play, you know, some man. But I don't think Salah's defense is like that. So would you be surprised if they did sort of rework the contract and kept L'Jarius Sneed to have him playing this type of defense?
That's an interesting question. I could see them doing that. But, you know, it really depends on what happens free agent-wise. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? I think that's going to be the big thing. Also, it depends on where this coaching staff feels he is as far as the injuries and things are concerned. Because we know it's been very rocky the last, you know, since he got here, period, mm-hmm. you know, the last couple of years. So that's something going in that they're going to have to analyze and figure out and see what's what.
Teron Davenport is with us. Teron, the question came up during the press conference about Cam Ward and just trying to get a vision on what he's able to do day in and day out now. We know he's going through the physical therapy, but as he tries to learn and bond with his new offensive coordinator, with the system they're going to be running, what's your best guess on how we try to visualize the day in and day out, knowing that he's still trying to get that shoulder right?
Yeah, I mean, he is trying to get that shoulder right, but I do know they're going to continue to work on the mechanics as far as the footwork is concerned. Right. And I know just from seeing Darryl Culver Jr. work with Cam before, you know, I've seen where they did basically a whole workout and he didn't even throw the football. You know what I mean? And I think when you have the whole thing that they want to address, the footwork, you don't have to go through the throwing motion. And that's something that he could do regardless of whether he's hurt or not, you know, where he is in the rehab for the shoulder. So that's the way I look at it. I think they're still getting things accomplished. That's even what Cam Ward said when he spoke last at the end of the season presser. So
something that really jumped out to me, too, was Robert Saleh, as a defensive coordinator with his mindset, describing Brian Daboll's offense. And this really got me, and maybe you can help shed some light, Teron, because you get this on a lot deeper level than I do. But when he said, as a defensive coordinator, he said 80 to 90% of the league has a lot of principles from the Shanahan tree. And he said Daboll is very different, so that makes it tough on defensive coordinators going in. What do you think about that concept? And also, what does that mean for Cam Ward in terms of the learning curve?
Yeah, well, if you remember in that presser, I asked the question of what did going against Daboll's defense
right.
teach you and make you think he was right for the job. And I think 100% what he said is correct, because when you look at the league, it's all a derivative of Kyle Shanahan, Sean McVay for the most part. And so you're not seeing something totally new, right? And so there's a lot of crossover as far as film and things that are concerned, prep. You don't have to install totally new things to go against a lot of these teams. But when you look at a Brian Daboll, what he uses is established. It's something that you know has lasted time, that the Earhart Perkins system, and he has modified it too. And I think when you look at being able to spread the field out, take the deep shots off of play action, run the football, but also have the intermediate passing game, you literally make a team have to defend every blade of grass, right? horizontally and vertically. And I think that's the thing that you have to look at. And then not to mention, you know, how he emphasizes a quarterback running, which we'll see, you know, how that works with Ward. But I think overall, Dable's offenses have been pretty solid. And you look at the bump that Josh Allen had in his second year. And I would imagine that's something he looked at and hope that, you know, this is something that could happen with Cam Ward.
We had a good conversation last week with Ted Wynn, and he was describing some of the things that he's seen from the Daboll offense over the years and going back to the Earhart Perkins system that you just referenced. And he said they often have that really good slot receiver that is going to get you those good quick yards, the matchups that you're looking for to, as you said, you know, spread everybody out. You work those matchups. It doesn't appear that they've got a match there, but you tell me if you think I'm wrong. And who would fit the bill? Is there anybody you have your eyes on that could fit that mold?
Yeah, that's a great point that you brought up. And you look at before, like Khalil Shakur, he really came to life in that offense. But for me, when I look at this, that's why Mekhi Lemon is so valuable. I wouldn't go receiver at four. You know, I think you have to go with one of the edge guys. But his ability is bumped up. But here's the thing. You have other guys. Like, if you look at later in the draft, you know, you look at a KC Concepcion. You could grab someone like that. You look at a local guy, right? Berrien Brown. You know what I mean? There's a lot of options there. And then in free agency, Wandale Robinson really comes into play. So that's someone to look at. And he could be like that splash free agent that they signed.
Teron Davenport, ESPN, NFL Nation, Titans reporter, has been our guest on D-Maze. Vingan and Donick, he usually joins us on Monday, but was kind enough to move to Tuesday this week. He is fueled by Parman Energy. You can visit ParmanEnergy.com, your one-stop petroleum solution. TD, great stuff as always. We'll catch up next week.
For sure. I'm glad I had my watch on me because I was mid-workout, man. So, yeah, appreciate you guys.
Get back at it, TD.
Finish strong, right. TD.
Yes, sir.
615-737-1025.
Sounded like he was a little worn out there.
Oh, yeah.
Can we catch probably, a second win?
He probably was happy that we called him, or he had to call.
Get out of that last set.
Exactly.
I did enjoy the line, the shopping at Opry Mills versus Green Hills when it comes to the Titans and free agency. We should discuss that further.
The next
at
level
some point.
Would be the bargain bin,
yes.
Right? The convenience store.
Rivergate,
bucket.
Whatever's left over there.
Is there anything
hey, don't
over
say
there?
That about Rivergate. Come on.
Shout out to Rivergate.
Rivergate.
Shout out.
Rivergate's gone,
yeah,
man.
Yeah, there's not much happening at Rivergate.
I'm surprised you remember Rivergate.
Can somebody from Rivergate call?
Did you move here when Rivergate was flourishing, or was it in its decline?
I moved here in 2015, so you tell me.
I think it was in its decline. Yeah, it was going down. It was going
don't
down.
Don't say anything bad. Come on.
Come on, man.
I spend time over there.
Good people over there. But I'm saying, like, the mall. I was talking about the mall in particular.
The mall in general, nationwide, it's a tougher sell these days.
For sure. Mm-hmm. Who doesn't love a mall?
All those people that shop online.
Yeah. That's really – kids these days, they don't get to enjoy – going to the mall. That was like the thing to do.
Exactly.
Going to the mall with like $1.25 in quarters.
And not being able to get anything but going to the arcade.
You go to the arcade, but you got to make it last for a couple hours. So, you know, you might need to get a little soda or something like that. But you got to make sure to stretch your money.
That's when you can stretch 50 cents.
Yeah, yeah. So if you had $5, you're set.
Oh, you're rich.
You're good.
Oh, my goodness. You can go to the movies, get popcorn, come back out, buy something at the mall that you want, something to eat. All with five, and still have 50 cents.
I had a great classmate one time. You had to give a little talk about something you're an expert at just to get up and talk in front of the class, be comfortable. My classmate said his topic was how to go to the mall with no money and have a great time. It was awesome.
Let me tell a quick mall story. So one of the things about malls these days that I don't like, and it's been like this for a long time, it's the people who work at the kiosks who are incredibly aggressive in getting you to come to the kiosk to buy whatever they're selling. When I was in high school, there was a guy who was so aggressive. I was going to another store. He was hounding me. I said, I'll come back and see you after I go get what I'm going to get. I intentionally left the mall on the other side, walked all the way around in the parking lot just to avoid this guy.
Oh, wow. Good Lord.
It's a lot of walking if it's a big mall.
This mall didn't have two floors?
No.
Oh.
615-737-1025. Malls, your thoughts. 615-737-1025. We will get back into the Predators because we did get a lot of texts. I do want to answer the question from one of our listeners that I think could lead to a good conversation. 615-737-1025. But in the meantime, if you want to win a pair of tickets to see Trevor Noah at the Ryman on Tuesday, February 10th, 1 week from today, be caller number two. 615-737-1025. Caller number two will win a pair of tickets to see comedian Trevor Noah of The Daily Show, formerly of The Daily Show, at the Ryman Auditorium next Tuesday, February 10th. 615-737-1025. Good luck. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, 1025 The Game.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on two purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.